1, 2, 3. Was it not working? Because I didn't notice that it was going in and out. Well, I'm glad you guys could help me out with that. So it sounds a little different to me, right? Because I guess I was just hearing without the mic. So as I was saying, we'll go to the scripture, John 17:17. Jesus says, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth." The word sanctified, if you're not sure what that means, it means to be set apart for a purpose. You have been called upon to have a specific thing to do, and God asked that we be consecrated. That means dedicated. We'd be focused on people who are purveyors of the truth, okay? So to know what the truth is, you need to know the difference between what is true and what isn't true, okay? That's the basic reality. You need to know what is truth. And that slide is not part of my deal there. Is there anybody up there running the slides? Joel? Okay. All right, there you are. So move forward to the next slide. So today, we are being bombarded with all kinds of information. I'm going to show you some graphs, and you can look at different things that I've done in a study here in the research, and this is called the information age timeline, okay? So if you go back all the way to the 1600s, not too much is happening when it comes to information there. Then we have the telephone, radio, television, computers, cell phones, internet. Before that, flags and torches. Smoke signals, okay? So here now we have all these different instruments to convey truth to people, to spread it in the masses in a shorter period of time. Next slide. We also have the technological advances across time. Technology has really rapidly increased, especially in these last years. There was the stone tools, fire, writings, watermill, gunpowder, printing press, optical lenses, steam engines, telegraph, plastics, airplane, transistor, fission power, space flight, internet, and mobile technology. Because we live in the day of these technological digital abilities to purvey truth to people, or information, or sometimes disinformation, we live in a very interesting age. All of this information is available to us. How many of you have a phone right with you right now? Raise your hand. Okay, just about everybody. You know, your phone has now become, if it's a smartphone, it's like a little computer, right? And if you're on the web, you can get online and say, just for fun, why don't y'all Google, how fast does knowledge double in time nowadays? How fast does knowledge double? You know, say, Google, how fast does knowledge double in our age? And next slide. There's some quotes here. Dr. Pipril Mamgren said, "The future is arriving faster than any time before, to a degree that we feel like we cannot keep up with what's going on in the world." This other guy, he started doing this doubling knowledge curve. His name was Buckminster. He says, in the year 1900, knowledge doubled every century, okay? It took a whole 100 years for knowledge to double, okay, the information that we would have. In 1945, it was doubling every 25 years, okay? IBM's confirmed that in 2020 now, in the 80s, it was every year. Now, possibly, knowledge is doubling every 12 or 13 months, and they're predicting that it could be every 12 or 13 hours very soon. That's the information that's available to you to purvey, to scheme or to study that is available to you. You could take your smartphone and, you know, if I have a question about something, I'll just say, hey, Google, and it'll tell me, okay? But it doesn't always give you the appropriate information, if you might have noticed, okay? And since we have social media, people can pretty much write down anything they want and put it on social media, and you may read this. And, you know, certainly over the last couple of years, you know, I kind of hate to mention it, but COVID, you know, boy, did we have a lot of information gathering and getting and receiving, and we had a lot of decisions to make. You know, are you vaccinating or not vaccinating, different things like that. Who do you trust? That's a big question. Can you trust the information that you're receiving? So this curve we have predicting and watch. And look how that goes in the next slide. Go ahead and look as well. Population of the world is also, for a long time, it was a very slow rise. In the 1800s, it started to increase, and then it increases. And it increases about a billion people every maybe 10 years now. Okay, there's possibly a gradual declining in that eventually now in that rise. But considering the amount of people there are in the world and the amount of information that there's in the world, it's kind of almost more than I can grasp at times. But it is a part of our day and our age, this information age. So what are we going to do about that? How are we going to go? Next slide. This isn't a surprise to God, okay? God has a plan. He knows what's going on. And we look at some prophetic writings. In Daniel 12, we have the scripture. I'm not going to read it all. It's kind of like Daniel having a book open to him that talks about the future, and he's recording these things that have been revealed to him by the angel. And he says, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting shame and contempt when this end time comes. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like stars forever. So are those hopefully are people like us. I'm not sure how end times are going to reveal themselves eventually, if you'll have to go through a tribulation or rapture you before that. But in either case, I want you to be those who are considered wise, who are shining like stars because you know the truth. And then the angel tells Daniel, shut up this book. That's all I'm going to tell you. And seal the book until the time of the end, and then we'll know what's going to happen. In the meantime, he says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Knowledge shall increase. What can you know? Well, there's a lot of things we can know in this world, but running to and fro doesn't always teach you the truth. So we need to know what is the truth. Next slide. I keep clicking this because I think I have a clicker in my hand. So in 2003, a very famous author, Michael Crichton, he's a novelist. Maybe some of you have recognized any of those books, like Jurassic Park. They made a movie out of that. He said some things that are very good to quote. He stated, the most important challenge facing mankind today is the ability to determine what truth is. Quoting from a passage of particular relevance to us, he said, the greatest challenge facing mankind is the challenge to distinguish fantasy from reality, truth from propaganda. And perceiving truth has always been a challenge to mankind, but in the information age, and then he said, I like to think of it, the disinformation age, it takes a special urgency and importance. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. How are you finding truth in your life? What are you looking at that tells you what is something you can build your life on? You know, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you need to build your life on the rock, not in the sand, because the storms will come and everything will be washed away unless you know you're built on the rock. And the rock is God, Jesus. It's the truth, it's the Bible, and we have that for us to build on these days. Next slide. So with the deliberate disinformation explosion that we're facing today, information age, it's getting harder to distinguish truth from error. What is true, what is real, and what isn't? Scientific truth is what our educated world, our professors and different people are saying you should look at, and they're trying to say, well, everything should be able to be measured. You can test and measure everything, and if you can show that this is a regular occurrence, like 2 plus 2 equals 4, that is a scientific truth. It's a mathematical equation. It's absolute truth, okay? But when it comes to life's bigger questions, science is very limited in its scope of what it can purvey to us, what it can tell us. There's a lot of things about life that science doesn't tell you. Like, who is God? How did we get here? What are the moral capacities and capabilities that we have in our life to show us how we should live and treat one another? What is the source of your strength to lead you along the way in your life when you face many difficult challenges? Where do you turn to? Can you pray? Who do you pray to? Those are all kinds of questions that we should be able to answer. And in matters of moral truth and theology, God's only God's truth in God's revealed word is a reliable indicator of truth. John 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth. And Jesus says, I have given them the truth, continue to sanctify and set them apart to purvey the truth and continue to have truth being made known through them. And he also, if you would read the whole scripture, which I think I should read a little bit more of it to you now as a scripture passage, John 17, beginning at verse 6, he says, I have manifested, which means to make known your name to the people. When you gave me out of the world, yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. So Jesus is praying to God. He says, I have these people. I have taught them. You gave them to me to teach your word, and I have taught them. Now keep them in the truth. Later, he says in verse 10, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world that they may have, and that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not in the world. And then he says, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they may be also sanctified in truth. So here I have before you a challenge and a purpose. The challenge is to know the truth of God, and the purpose is to make that truth known. We can't just go along in life saying, okay, whatever, we'll go along with things the way they go. We need to stand up for the truth. And so next slide. A case in point here is in Jesus' trial. John 18, the next chapter, you just read, Jesus goes before the court. The Jews cease to try. They're seeking to kill him, really. They're bringing him to a trial. And if you study the Jewish trial, the Jewish trial, there's like six times where they broke basically Jewish parliamentary procedures, okay, in Jesus' trial. They kept doing everything illegally, basically. And finally, they wanted Jesus killed, so for the Jews to be able to have Jesus crucified, they had to take him before Pilate, who's the Roman emperor during the day. And two times they bring him before Pilate to see if Pilate will cast the guilty verdict for them upon Jesus so they can have him killed. And so the second time, Jesus is before Pilate now here in John 18, and they're accusing Jesus of these false things, but they're trying to make Jesus self-incriminate himself because he is saying he is the king. He's king of a different kingdom. They don't know really what it is, but it's the kingdom of God. They're trying to say he's saying he's king of the Jews, or he's usurping the Caesar, Roman Caesar's kingship, and he's going against common law. So Pilate says, so you're a king. Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who listens to me listens. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate says, what is truth? What is truth? Very cynically, he says this, because I believe he recognizes that there really is no credence, no credentials to casting the guilty verdict upon Jesus. But they're asking him to do so. They're lying to him regularly. He's lived in the world long enough to know that he deals with things in a very pragmatic matter. Let's just get it done, he says. What is truth? He says, basically, I really don't believe there is any truth, okay? That's what he's saying. And so as you look at this, we begin to see we need to know what the source of truth is. Pilate didn't know, but we can know. And so I'm going to take you through just quickly how we get to the truth. And the first thing is truth begins with God. Now, I listed several attributes of God. He's preeminent, he's transcendent, he's immanent, he's infinite, sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient. You'll have to read the fine print. But if you want to talk to me later about what they are, I'll tell you that. But I just wanted to say, let's look at a couple of them. First of all, transcendence. The second one, I don't think my clicker's, my pointer's working anymore. Transcendence, second one. It's the concept of being beyond or exceeding the range of our normal or merely physical human experience. Can you measure God? Can you scientifically prove there's God? No. But you have to believe what the Bible says. Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Now that just says God transcends our scientific ability to discern what is real and what isn't real. How'd we get here, you know? God knows. We trust that God knows, and he did what he did. And that's the thing about God. When he makes a promise or a covenant, he keeps his word. Every word of God is reliable, and we can trust it. He is also omniscient, okay? Knowing everything, the last one. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endure forever. If you begin to study who God is, you realize, as, say, like Job or anyone that has kind of had a hearing before God, that God is way beyond what we can understand or know or decipher or scientifically prove. But he is always true. He never lies. Now, that's a little different when you think of the antithesis of who God is, Satan, evil, the roaring lion that seeks about who he might devour, that he might destroy us by the evil lies that he gives. So we have to start with God to know that there is truth. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning is God, and that is the beginning. John chapter 1, Jesus says, in the beginning was the Word, and Jesus becomes the Word. He becomes God's revelation, his self-revelation to us that we know what is true, that we can trust God and his Word. All the prophecies are fulfilled in the Bible and the different things that are happening. So as we go on, we see it begins with God. Second, next slide, it flows through Jesus. Jesus said, I've given them your word. I read the truth to you. Sanctify them in truth. Jesus revealed the truth about God the Father, the meaning of which consecration is to be set apart for a particular use. Jesus came that we might know the truth. And, you know, way beyond that, he came that we might then, in the truth, come to be able to receive the grace of God, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus provides the sacrifice that is foreshadowed in the Old Testament that is then bring to the reality that one sacrifice for all, that whoever would confess their sins before God, ask for God's grace, that through Jesus, God, who would not be able to accept sin into his sight, is able to receive us, sinful though we may, cleansing us from our sin because of the price Jesus paid when he died on the cross as the perfect, spotless Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus finishes his work, and then, as is promised on the cross, he offers his life, and the third day he's raised in glory, and he returns for a time after to, again, ratify the truth as he teaches his disciples again and helps them to begin to then, through the giving of the Holy Spirit of God, establish who we are, those who believe, a part of God's kingdom, the truth of the church. Next slide. So now, truth needs to live in and through us. Psalm 25:5 says, lead me in truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, for you I wait all the day long. That's David's prayer. In John 8:31-32, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word and are truly my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. A lot of people tend to take the Bible and they think this is a huge constraint on me if I'm going to live by what God's word is and what truth is. It's just the opposite. If you don't have the truth of God, you're being enslaved. You're being sort of like bounded by all the evils and all deception and all the lies that keep you down. But when you have the truth, you're able to be ridded of all of the falsehoods that are hard on us during these days, because we tend to look at things oftentimes from a very pessimistic point of view and think we're never going to make it through this. But God will help you if you trust in him and the truth and our brothers and sisters that can keep encouraging us and praying for us and keep encouraging us through the words of truth, not everything else that the world might seek to offer but has no real lasting benefit to us as God's word does. So when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. This points us a little bit further into prophetic truth. There are things that we can put our hope on, and the prophecies that we have in the Bible, like we know the heavens and earth as we know now, we brought to an end, and Christ is going to establish the new heavens and new earth. Now, that's a pretty big one. I mean, I'm basing my life on that promise. I don't want to live out my days in vain when Christ comes and not have the blessed hope that God has promised me. So basically, when I was in college is when I kind of made that decision. I decided what really has to be important to me is my everlasting life, not just the moment. We can always live for the moment, but within that moment, we need to be future-orientated, foresighted enough to know that what we have now isn't an end in itself. God promises there is much more for those who believe, and many who have gone on before into that blessed hope. We trust there in that, and we also need to base that on how we make our decisions about what's important to us right now. There's one God. There's one Lord. There's one Lord and Savior. There's one church. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one Spirit, and so forth. There is only one name by which you may be saved from your sins. Or to put it another way, there is only one path to salvation, not many. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we need Jesus. We need God's truth. Sin is a transgression of God's law. You can't just say, it's not a sin unless I say it is. God has already said what sin is. You know, today it's like very popular now to say, I can kind of make my own truth. If I'm a man and I want to be a woman, I'll just say I'm a woman. I'll dress like a woman. I know someone recently is telling me that they know this marriage that's coming up and the bride has chosen for her maid of honor, a transvestite who's a man who is acting like a woman to be the maid of honor. The person says, I'm facing a conundrum because my very good friend says, unless you accept this, you can't be my friend. What are you going to do? Sin is sin. We can love the sinner, but we don't love the sin. We can't accept everything as right that is wrong. So Satan is deceiving the world. There is Satan. Jesus will return and establish God's kingdom. Though we'll be a coming of an end in a new heaven and earth. The Bible talks about the 1,000-year reign. These things that the Bible teaches us are true, and they're real, and they're really going to happen. Show me a place where God's made a promise and he doesn't fulfill it. So far, God is fulfilling every promise, and he continues to do so. So, what are we going to do? Bring this to a close here pretty quick. Let's go to the next slide. The answer is we know truth because the Bible tells us so. You know, it tells us what is true. When we have to discern what is real and what is not real, we have to go to the Bible. The Bible can be trusted. It gives us the truth. The Bible contains several declarative statements about its own authority, and we have to trust these as well. It's still a leap of faith to trust God, But we can trust what the Bible says because God keeps doing what he says he will do. Romans 3:2 calls the scriptures the oracles of God. This is what we have, the written, inspired word of God, that God, through his inspiration, created the truth in a written form through the hands of mankind, but by the inspiration of the Spirit, God breathed truth. Proverbs 35 says, every word of God is pure. Psalm 12:6 says, the words of God are pure. Again, they're purified seven times. Seven times is like, you can't get any better than that, okay? We have the best that we can have in the truth of the word of God. Psalm 119 says, God's words are more sure than eyewitness testimonies. We have eyewitness testimonies of Jesus' death on the cross, of his being put in the grave, of his rising, his coming and going and ascending into heaven. Eyewitnesses have accounted for that. We have eyewitnesses of Jesus' miracles. But even better, it says God's word is even better than that. You know, if I was to have to go to a court and have somebody, you know, declare that I was innocent or guilty of something, I'd want to have eyewitnesses to be there to either uphold or, you know, verify what is true. And that's what the best we can do with our laws and in court and things like that. But we have scriptures which we must then begin as the start. So 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture are given by the inspiration of God, and basically the bottom line is the Bible declares itself to be true, the authoritative word of God. And that is then the greatest authority that we can have. A personal relationship with God demands then that you accept this, that you accept this truth. You accept who Jesus is. You accept that you're a sinner, that you need God's grace, that you need to humble yourself to God to receive his care for you, that he has provided, not because we're worthy, but because he is God, and he can do what he says he will do. If we really understand then this, and we have the mind and the purpose to do this, then we really can have everything that we need, and we don't need to doubt that we have what we need when we have God's word and we put our faith in God and Jesus. I know a lot of people sometimes say, I don't know if I can, if I'm really sure about this. You should be about as sure as there is that you can be sure, you know, as real as if you hit yourself on the head, it'll hurt your hand, right? And maybe your head too. This is reality. And we need to base our lives not on falsehoods, but on reality. So it says, if you know the craft and you know who the craftsman is, you can tell who made what. In other words, I'm not very crafty woodworker. I'll get it done, but you know, it'll take me a long time and it might not look so good when it's all done. But if somebody is really good at doing something and they do it and you see what they did, you say, wow, I know who did that. That's God. He is the craftsman of this world. He even designed us, and he made us, and he gave us a special place in his kingdom to be those who would fellowship with him through the truth that he gives us and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives through God's word. We know God because we know him, and we see that's God who's doing these things. And when we put our faith in God, everything starts to line up perfectly in our life. We'll still have our challenges, but most of these challenges can be kind of calmed down a lot by taking God's truth first and trusting in the authority that God's given to us. The conclusion, last slide, it's up to us. Jesus said he's praying for us. He's praying that we'll be guarded and that we will guard the truth. He's praying that this battle is worth it in our lives. In the Reformation, many men died that we could continue to have the word of God given to us, the true word of God, and that we'd be able to receive it our own selves, not have somebody else tell us what it says. So take your Bible, read it, study it, learn it, and trust it, and then may God guide us as we continue to provide what we need to prevail in the battle for the truth. God bless you to that end. Amen. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the Holy Scriptures that we have in the Bible that have been constantly brought through the ages with the reliability that we can trust as the inerrant Word of God. We ask, God, that you'll continue to make it live and move in our lives as we put our faith and trust in you, as we take the Bible and we continue to let it lead us, and we hold it up with high regards. We pray, God, that as we share the truth of your word, we'll share it in such a way that it'll invite people as well to turn to you and to your grace and love for them, and that they'll receive the gospel, the good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and we can be saved. Lead us along then in our days, in our lives, and especially in this age that we live in now. We don't know how long we have, but we just pray that we'll make the most of every day and that you'll guide us along in life to be a great testimony for who you are and for your true word. Amen.